Are you listening? Can you hear okay? It seems an elderly gentleman had a serious hearing problem for numbers of years. He went to the doctor, and the doctor was able to have him fitted for a set of hearing aids that allowed the gentleman to hear 100%. The elderly gentleman went back in a month to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Hey, your hearing is perfect. Your family must be really pleased that you can hear again." To which the gentleman said, "Well, I haven't told my family yet. I just sit around and listen to the conversations. I've changed my will 3 times. Are you listening? Are you listening? 1 Samuel chapter 3. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Let's go back to the beginning and kind of look at this a bit at a time, this story of God calling the child Samuel. It says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. We'll look at this tonight. We'll be doing the first 3 chapters of 1 Samuel. And Jewish tradition has it that by chapter 3, Samuel is about 12 years old at this time. This is a special boy. This is a special boy who is an answer to prayer for his mother. His mama, Hannah, was unable to have children and tormented because of this. And she prayed and cried out to God, and God gave her a son. And in response, she gave the child back to God, literally. And when Samuel was 3 years old and was weaned, we think it's around 3 years old, when he was weaned from his mother, she took him to the tabernacle where God was worshipped, to the high priest Eli, and said, "Here's my son that God has given me. I give him back to the Lord." And from 3 years old onward, Samuel ministers to the Lord. He's kind of like, he's got little, you know, toy priest clothes, you know. And he walks around and maybe he sweeps the floor and maybe helps light the candles or different things. But he's kind of like a, you know, priest in training, you know, and he follows Eli around everywhere. Special child. God's going to use this child. The interesting thing about the book of Samuel is at the beginning of this book, God can't get a hold of anybody. You know, you ever try, you know, holidays, you know, when everything is closed, and you try to call this place and that place, and everything's closed. and God's trying to call everybody. Nobody's home. Nobody's answering the phone. Finally, God's able to get a hold of a woman, Hannah. We'll look at that tonight. And then God will use her son, Samuel. And so the child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word precious, the Hebrew word, means valuable, prized, weighty, splendid, precious. But more important, it means rare. Rare. That's why it's precious. That's why it's valuable. Because it was rare in those days. It says there was no open vision. The word open, the Hebrew word means to be broken through. And the idea is this. God couldn't break through to anybody. God couldn't get anybody's attention. That's why the word of God was rare, precious in those days. Nobody heard from God. How rare is God's word? Is God able to speak today? Yes. Absolutely. Is God able to get your attention? Well, are you listening? Are you listening? The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what was said. One day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work! We're proud of you! God bless you, sir!" It was not until the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Not quite knowing what to say, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." Can you hear them? Not the lights. I know the lights buzz a lot. Right now, at this very moment, in this room, there are hundreds of voices speaking. Can you hear them? No, I'm not talking about being crazy. And I don't want to, okay, how many of you hear the voices? I don't want to see a show of hands here. If you had a radio or a TV, you could hear them, couldn't you? But without the right equipment, without turning it on, without tuning it in, you don't hear anything. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open vision. God couldn't break through. I don't think the idea is that God wasn't speaking. I think the issue was no one is listening. Verse 2, "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now, we kind of get the stage set here. It says Eli was laid down in this place. Eli's in bed. Okay, the story's going to take place at night. And it says, verse 3, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Now, what he's talking about here, you see, this is actually the tabernacle. This is before the temple was built, but they just called it the temple. This was the tent that Moses set up that they used through the wilderness. And this was where the one place where God was worshipped, and there was a ritual that they would do every night. every night at dusk, the priests would go into the holy place, and one of the pieces of furniture inside the holy place was this seven-tiered lampstand, candlestick. We call it the menorah. And every evening, the priests would go in and you know, they'd fill up the thing with oil, and they light the lamps. It's really an interesting picture of us. We are in a dark world, and Jesus says we are the lights of the world. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the oil, and God lights us on fire, we're a light to other people. So it's kind of a very cool picture. And the lamps would burn all night. And in the morning at sunrise, the guys would go in, a priest would go in and blow out and clean out the lamps. So what he's saying here, he's just kind of setting the time. Everybody's laid down in bed, and it's not yet morning yet. So it's somewhere between sleepy by time and then the wake up time. Okay, this is setting the stage. And also says here, when Eli was laid down in his place, verse 2, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Eli's getting old. He's going blind. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's a wonderful piece of information. What good is that to the story? That's just like, well, thanks for telling me that. You know, okay, the old guy is going blind. So what? Wait a second here. He's going blind. He cannot see. There was no open vision. If anyone should be getting visions in this day, if anyone should be hearing from God in this day, it ought to be Eli. He's the high priest of Israel. He's the high priest of God's chosen people, descended from the line of Aaron, the first high priest. If anyone should be seeing visions, if anyone should be hearing from God, it ought to be Eli. Oh, but Eli is growing blind. Should you be a person who sees? Should you be a person who hears God? I was wondering, in thinking about this, what kind of things have blinded Eli? Well, we'll look at this more tonight, but in chapter 2, in verse 29, a prophet has visited Eli, and this is prior to our current story that we're looking at. And the prophet comes to give pronounced judgment. God is going to be judging Eli and his family. And one of the things here in verse 29, 1 Samuel 2:29, it says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Now, what he's talking about is that, and we'll read this tonight, we'll look at the details, but a couple of things were going on that just made God sick. Things that were going on at church. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who would take over after Eli, men who did not know the Lord but were in the priesthood, one of the things that they were known for was that they loved ripping the people off. Everybody would come and bring their sacrifices, and instead of them taking the part that they were supposed to take, oh, they just wanted the best of everything. And it got so bad that people hated coming to church. Because these guys are always, every time I go to church, these guys are ripping us off. These guys were even, they were seducing the women that served God at the tabernacle. Horrible things. Turn God's stomach. And God says, he says, why are you kicking my sacrifice? I mean, you're like kicking at the way I'm supposed to be worshipped. And he says, you honor your sons above me. Now, see, Eli wasn't necessarily doing these things. These were things that his sons were doing, but her sons was wicked, and he didn't do anything about it. At one point, he speaks to his sons, and he rebukes them and says, "You've been bad boys. Now, get back to work." And that was it. And God says to him, "Look, your sons are more important to you than me." Jesus said in Luke 14:26, he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus said, hate, hate. Now, in looking at this in context of all of Scripture, no, you're not supposed to go out and shoot your parents. That's not what he's talking about. But when my family becomes more important than God, I'm in trouble. Jesus says, "You're not following me." When your family becomes, your family says, "Oh, let's not go to church today." Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Eli chose his family above God. Oh, God wants you to honor and love and take care of your family. Don't get me wrong here. But God wants to be first in your heart. And this is blinding Eli. It also says you've become fat. He says you've made yourselves fat with the chiefest of the offerings. And actually, in Eli's case, this is literally the thing. You know, we'll find out when we get to, I think it's chapter 4, that Eli's an old, fat man who, and he falls over, he finds out some bad news, he falls over, and because he's so large, he breaks his neck. And the idea is this. See, his sons were ripping everybody off and giving dad a cut of everything. And so the whole thing is this. Eli had become self-centered. It was all about his own comfort. Yeah, his sons were bad, but it is rather comfortable around here. I do like the year-end bonus my sons provide me. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Eli is blinded because his priorities are in the wrong place. And so he doesn't hear from God. Verse 4. And so, at this time, Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel. And he said, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. Samuel doesn't know what's going on. He hears a voice, he hears somebody mention his name, and he thinks, "Well, you know, it's Eli's calling me in the middle of the night, he wants a Pepsi or something, you know, no problem, I can do this." And verse 6, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." I wonder what God's voice sounded like when God speaks your name. "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." And then it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." He did not yet know the Lord. Now, when I was thinking about this and kind of mulling over this message and everything, I was thinking, well, probably need to talk about how can I hear God's voice and how can I hear God speak to me. And probably at the top of the list, we ought to be saying, well, you've got to know the Lord if you want to hear Him talk to you. But you know what? That's not a correct statement. Because it says right here, Samuel's heard the Lord call his name several times. He's hearing God say, he will get to know the Lord. By the end of our thing this morning, he will get to know the Lord. But God speaks, and he doesn't even know him. You can hear the Lord without knowing him. Let me clarify this a little bit. God speaks to all kinds of people who have never taken a step of trusting Him. Oh, He speaks. Perhaps you've heard this on the radio. Some people have taken this email that went out a couple weeks back and they put it to music and they read it over Silent Night. And it goes like this. You say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I am not going to make it, but it is okay. I am ready to go." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words and as she realized he wasn't coming home that night. I was in a stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. "I have been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years, I said. "Of course I will show you the way home. Only believe in me now." I was at the base of the building with the priest ministering to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer, with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, and London. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. Come to me this way. Take my hand. Some chose for the final time to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you, but someday your journey will end, and I will be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found. Then at any moment, you know you are ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. You see, God does speak. And He speaks to people who don't know Him. The question is, will you respond? Will you respond? So verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Hey, aren't you glad? I mean, you know, for some of us, it took us 10, 20, 30, 40. And the Lord called Richard the 20th time. And the Lord called Richard the 21st time. I'm so glad God is patient, slow to anger. Oh, boy. And in fact, this isn't the last time. God will have to make it four times for Samuel. And the Lord called him again the third time. And he rose and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord, that Yahweh, had called the child. Now, Eli has his problems, and he is going to be facing God's judgment. But you got to give him credit for this. The guy, the old guy, finally realizes what's going on. And he's the key that gets Samuel doing what he needs to do. And he realizes that God is in this. And so verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down. He gives him instructions. He says, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, he gives him some instructions. He says, lie down. Go back to bed. Rest. Relax. Go back to sleep. That's what he tells Samuel. He says, go and lie down. And it shall be that if he speak, he will say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Thy servant, the word servant means servant, slave. Samuel, when God speaks, he is your master. You need to be his servant. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. This is an interesting little tidbit. The word heareth is the Hebrew word shema, means to hear, to listen, to obey. And Samuel's name is two Hebrew words stuck together, shema and el, Shemuel, meaning heard of God. And his mom named him that because God heard her prayer. And so she called the boy, I heard of God. God heard me. This is very good. And it's kind of interesting that part of the instruction is actually part of his name. You know, I don't know. I was wondering how he responded to that. You know, Shemuel. I wonder how he responded to that. In verse 10, it says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. God didn't give up. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And for some of you, God's speaking to you this morning. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Shemuel, Shemuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's look at John 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, New Testament. John 16, verse 13. I have a series of statements I'm going to make to kind of wrap this all up. John 16, 13. First thing I want to say is this. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's telling the guys, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you. He will be taking over when I'm gone. He says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Greek word that Jesus uses here, that's translated show it unto you, is anangelo. Two words, ana, which means into the midst of, and angelo, which means to announce or to be a messenger. And so the idea is, I mean, it's, you know, can be translated declare or different things. But the idea is to go in and announce something. That's the idea. For example, in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Paul comes back from one of his missionary journeys, and he's been traveling the world, and God's been at work, and he comes back to the home church in Antioch. And it says in Acts 14, 27, it says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed," and that's anangelo, "they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Now, the idea is this. You know, they come back and they get everybody together and they have a potluck, and you know, A through M brings main dish, and N through Z brings dessert, and everybody brings it, and they all get together, and there's Paul right in the midst of them, and they talk to them all about the things God has been doing all around the world. I think of it kind of like the it's episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, towards the end of the movie, where they're down on the planet surface, and with the Ewoks, remember, and they're having that big party thing, and remember, this is the time voice of Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Death Star. You remember how he's telling, he's got sound effects, you know, and are you with me? Do you remember that part? Do you remember that part of the movie? That's anangelo. Come into the midst and give a message. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Jesus says he will take of mine, he takes from what I give him, and he wants to come in and give you something. Announce into your heart. He wants to speak to you. He doesn't send you junk mail addressed to occupant. You know, I mean, you know, some week you could get kind of excited. You know, it's kind of fun to get, "You've got mail." Yeah, you're like, "Oh, the postman comes and there's, look at the stack of mail. Look at this one." So, occupant? Wow, they sent it to me. You know, I mean, unless your name is occupant, I mean, you don't get excited at those, do you? But oh, when something handwritten has your name on it, those are the ones you flip through and look through first, right? The ones that are addressed to you. Not the emails that have 25,000 names attached to it, but the one that's sent to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Are you listening? We talked earlier about all the voices going on around here, and you've got to have the equipment, got to tune in. It's the Holy Spirit that tunes you in to what God wants to say to you. So, how can I hear God speak? Let me give you five little things, five very small phrases, words. How can I hear God speak? Number one is this: be quiet. You might write down, "shut up." That works too, okay? But I thought it'd be nicer in church to say, "be quiet." Okay? Be quiet. Samuel had to go back to bed and lie down. Eli didn't say, "well, okay, you know, here's what you do. Go into your room, turn the radio on full blast, turn up the TV, you know, get out the newspaper, start your homework," and no, he said, "go lay down. Be quiet." Psalm 62, verse 1, King James says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation." The word that's translated "waiteth" means silence, be still. New American Standard translates it this way, Psalm 62, 1, "my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation." Be quiet. Be quiet. I'm having lots of quiet pauses in my message on purpose this morning. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah has been at the pinnacle of his career. He's hit the biggest home run of everybody that anybody could ever imagine, of any prophet's ever done. I mean, he did the showdown at Mount Carmel. It's me, God's prophet, against 400 prophets of Baal. And, you know, we let them wail and dance and do their thing all day. They couldn't make nothing come out of heaven to burn up their offering. But me, I just said, oh, God, I'm your prophet. Here it is. And then, whoo, fire of God fell. Whoa, wow. This is like the pinnacle. And then he finds out Jezebel wants to kill him, and he's terrified. Suddenly, just everything's bad. He runs 300 miles down into the desert, flees for his life. God, what's wrong? I want to die. And God shows up. Different things happen. Fire comes through the canyon that he's in, earthquake, you know, and all these different things. God's not in any of these things until there's a quiet, still, small voice. I think one of the translations say a gentle blowing. And then God speaks. I think sometimes we got too much noise going on. Be quiet. Be quiet. Sometimes at our house, the phone rings, I pick it up, and I have a hard time hearing it personally at the end of the phone. And that's because I got the TV turned up really, really loud. And you got to turn the TV down. You know, sometimes I've learned I just turn the TV off before I answer the phone because I waste it, you know. And you got to quiet down to hear the voice. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. How can I hear God speak? Number one, be quiet. Number two, wait. Number two, wait. Samuel was to wait until the voice spoke again. He waited. And if he speaks, then great. If he doesn't, well, you just wait. Being quiet is only one part. We need to learn to also wait on God. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Don't just be wait, just, you know, okay, God, here we go. Do this quiet thing. God, speak to me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, well, I guess God didn't show up today. Gave him a whole 5 seconds. No. Wait on God. Number 3, listen. Samuel was to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I am listening. I am listening. I think we can be quiet. I think we can wait, but not listen. Do you want God to speak? Are you listening for him? When Moses was faced with a tough question and needed an answer from God, in Numbers 9:8, it says, Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Isaiah 55:3, God says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Hear, listen. Number 4, surrender. Samuel was to tell the Lord that he was the Lord's servant. Servant. I am your slave. You are my master. The person who surrenders to the Lord and is willing to listen will always learn God's will. Surrender. Wait on the Lord. And number 5, know his voice. Know his voice. Samuel would soon learn to know God's voice. He would be God's man of the hour. He would be the one God would speak to because he knew God's voice. when someone familiar calls on the phone. I mean, there's a couple people that can call me on the phone, and they don't have to say, this is so-and-so, when my mom calls on the phone. I know it's her. I can see that she can, now, of course, caller ID says it, too. But you know, even days before caller ID, there are certain voices I recognize on the phone. There are some I don't. We used to have a friend who, and every time he would call, he would just go launch off into conversations, and I'm kind of going, oh, my, who is this, you know? Thankfully, there's only one or two, three people that do that, so I can figure it's one of them, you know. But you get to know a voice when you are familiar with it and when you spend time with it, with that person. Sheep know the sound of their master's voice. God wants you to be familiar with His voice. John 10, verse 2. He who enters the door by the sheep is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Shemuel. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Are you familiar with God's voice? Let me give you a clue. It's right here. Now, I haven't talked with Pastor Chuck one-on-one more than three or four times in my entire life. I don't think he knows who I am. I don't think he knows what my name is. But I have listened to hours and hours and hours of tapes. I listen to him on the radio all the time. And I'll tell you what, if Chuck ever called me up on the phone, I would know his voice like that. I go, why? Because I play his tapes all the time. This is God's voice. You have it recorded. You must spend time daily in this book if you want to hear God's voice and know His call. I think most of the time you will find that the way God will speak to you is right off of the pages of this book. This week, several things. We're just about to finish up on our once a year through the Bible thing. We're just about to finish it, and boy, there's just some great things in the book of Zechariah. I wrote one of them in the pastor to person thing. You know, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's a great one. That one leaps off on the page for me almost every time I read it. It is not about what I do in the ministry. It's about what God does. It's not about me being cute or strong or wealthy or anything. It's what God does that counts. That was some of God's word to me this week. Some of it. Spend time in the book. Know His voice. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a new man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. The young man filled out his form and sat down with the seven other applicants in the waiting area. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right on in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled." the other applicants began grumbling to each other. And one spoke up saying, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. He gets the job. That's not fair." The employer said, "Hold on a second here. I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This man did. The job is his." God is speaking. Are you listening? We live in a world that's filled with all the busyness and clatter like that office.